Well, tonight was not one of the stronger go-homes for AEW, although it was a hell of a lot better than the one that we got on Monday. We have two pay-per-views this weekend. First, on Saturday, it is Night of Champions. That's Saturday afternoon. Of course, you'll get Sound Off episode 810 on Sunday. And then Sunday night is AEW Double or Nothing, which is what tonight was all about, trying to push forward the programs and the key matches for Double or Nothing. Coming up on Sunday, we have the Four Pillars match for the AEW World Championship with MJF, Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, and Sammy Guevara. A match where none of the three challengers feel like they have a realistic shot of walking away with the AEW World Championship. There is not a single person in that match who feels as if they have a legitimate chance of walking out and dethroning MJF to win that title on Sunday. Going to be a great match. Not buying into the idea that old Jungle Boy, old Jungle Jack, is going to walk out with the AEW World title. And don't even get me started on Sammy Guevara winning the championship. Darby Allin is the one guy who the fans were at least somewhat behind, which is why I was a little confused with how his part of the segment tonight ended, which we will talk about when we get to the Four Pillars. We also have Anarchy in the Arena, with the Elite taking on the Blackpool Combat Club. Blackpool Combat Club lost to the Lucha Bros in the main event tonight for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships. Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles being defended in the main event here of this AEW go-home show, but at least it was done for a storyline purpose. The Young Bucks prevented Claudio and Wheeler Yuta from walking out with tag team gold. And then Jon Moxley went into the ring, and he cut the best promo of the entire night. Jon Moxley cut a money promo to sell the Anarchy in the Arena match and really made you believe in what he was saying. Jon Moxley brought a certain level of intensity to that promo tonight that nobody else had. In all of the promos, and there was a lot of talking on the show tonight, it was the closing 90 seconds or so of tonight's show, but it was those final 90 seconds that I thought did the best job of selling any of the key matches on the show on Sunday. It's almost as if this Jon Moxley guy is pretty good at cutting promos and getting people to invest in his matches. We also have an unsanctioned match on Sunday with Chris Jericho going one-on-one with Adam Cole. And they had their contract signing tonight for their unsanctioned match. Why do you need a contract signing for an unsanctioned match? Well, we were told that AEW washes their hands of the entire thing. They don't want to bear any responsibility for what these two men are going to do to each other on Sunday, and so therefore they had to sign a contract. And then when it was pointed out that Adam Cole doesn't exactly have the amount of backup that Chris Jericho has with all the members of the Jericho Appreciation Society, Adam Cole says, you know what? You're absolutely right. That's why I have recruited somebody to watch my back and be in my corner on Sunday. Somebody who I idolized as a kid. Somebody who is homicidal, and genocidal, and suicidal. And out comes Sabu. Sabu randomly appears on Dynamite tonight, and he is going to be in the corner of Adam Cole on Sunday in the unsanctioned match. Why? Don't know. Well, actually, I do know. I do know. I know exactly why. I'll tell you exactly why when we get to that point in the show tonight. There's a very good reason, I'm sure, why we are getting Sabu on Sunday. Not that it makes any more sense, because it doesn't. And I was never the biggest Sabu fan, so you'll have to excuse me if I curb my enthusiasm for this. But I know a lot of people were very excited to see Sabu tonight. There were people in the building in Vegas tonight who made a lot of noise and were very excited to see Sabu. Good. Good. But a very weird decision there. But also tonight was about Tony Khan's announcement. And Tony Khan was going to announce to us, we were told last week, that tonight we would get the location for the very first episode of AEW Collision coming up on June 17th. Where would that show be held? Now, we know, based on all the reports that have been out now for months, that AEW already booked the United Center in Chicago because at the time that they did that, they were betting that CM Punk would be making his return on that show, and it would be the second coming, right? We had the first dance, now we have the second coming. They would be able to pack the building, and they're going to build an entire roster, an entire show around CM Punk. And then last week, we heard all the reports that things weren't looking so good. There was even more drama involving CM Punk and the possibility that Ace Steel had already been rehired by the company. And Tony Khan was not going to let him come to the buildings, and CM Punk didn't like that very much. And all of a sudden, it was almost as if they were back to square one. What would Tony Khan do? Would he book Daly's place? Would he book a different building? I told you last week, what should have been obvious, which is that if Tony Khan went on television tonight and announced Chicago, whether it was the United Center or a flea market, that if they were in Chicago, that meant that CM Punk was back. Well, Tony Khan went on television tonight and he announced it on June 17th. AEW Collision will be debuting from the United Center in Chicago, Illinois, which all but guarantees the return of CM Punk on that night. There was no mention of CM Punk. There was no announcement that CM Punk is going to be on that show. But CM Punk is going to be on that show. Tony Khan does not go on television tonight and announce the United Center if he doesn't know that he has CM Punk in his back pocket. So we're going to talk about all of that, including Punk. I'm not going to spend too much time on him, frankly. I'm about as tired as I know many of you are in even hearing this man's fucking name at this point. So we'll talk a little bit about Punk and then we'll move on. But one other thing I wanted to mention here, which is the passing, unfortunately, earlier today of one Tina Turner. Talk about legends, right? People saying, oh, Sabu's on the show tonight. Sabu's a legend. Now, you want to see a legend? You look at Tina Turner. And Tina Turner, unfortunately, she passed away earlier today at the age of 83, which I was very sorry to hear about. I always have We Don't Need Another Hero, Thunderdome. I have that queued up on my playlist in Spotify every time I'm at the gym. It's a great song. One of the many great tunes of Tina Turner. So rest in peace to her. I am the Solid Monster. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, May 24th, 2023. So let's talk about, very briefly, let's talk about the CM Punk stuff. Because earlier today, Fightful Select had a report about CM Punk saying that Punk and AEW remained in contact over the past week after all the drama that took place last week. And their conversations were believed to have been productive. People close to Punk believe that he will be at the first episode of Collision on June 17th, which again seems like a foregone conclusion after the announcement we got tonight. Raj Giri, earlier in the week, said that AEW had sent a legal letter to Punk. And there was a lot made about what Raj said and how accurate it was. Well, Fightful followed up on that. And Fightful noted that there were documents sent to Punk, which I guess technically would be legal documents. I think people construed that as being some sort of threat of a lawsuit or something. That's not what it was. They were documents sent to him which supposedly covered speaking about certain subjects. Gee, I wonder what that could be. Disparagement clauses, and ensuring that he appears at scheduled television dates. And the documents were said to be produced to protect AEW in several situations, but there was no indication that they contained any sort of legal threat. So basically, let's boil this down here. Basically, Tony Khan had CM Punk sign at least one, I'm sure, NDA regarding Brawl Out. Nobody has been able to talk about Brawl Out. Kenny Omega hasn't been able to talk about it. The Young Bucks have not been able to talk about it. Supposedly, the Young Bucks did say some stuff about it as part of the AEW All Access show, and it was cut, which is why it was so awkward whenever they would talk about, oh, we missed 2 months, and we've never been out this long in our entire careers, and we didn't know if the fans were going to react to us when we got back, and oh my God, what are we going to do? Right? Give me a break. It's 2 months. Give me a break. Well, the reason it was so awkward, if you're a new viewer who's never seen AEW before, or if you're a casual viewer and you have no idea what happened after All Out last year, you're watching this going, why were these guys suspended? Why did they miss 2 months? It was never explained. Well, evidently they may have addressed it, but it was cut. So they have been very, very strict about what is said, what is allowed to be said and not said about that entire situation. So what's happened here now is that it sounds like Punk has signed an NDA, and probably not the only one to sign an NDA about this entire situation. So for all the people who think that with CM Punk coming back, it means that he and the Elite, eventually they'll work together. Even if the Bucks don't want to work with him right now, eventually they'll all work together and they'll play off of the whole Brawl Out thing. They'll turn it into an angle. Well, this should put that shit to bed once and for all, because now they've put pen to paper and I'm sure nobody is allowed to say anything about that situation. So that doesn't sound to me like a situation where they're going to turn this into an angle. And we're going to hear about this on television. Oh, it was a work the entire time. No, it wasn't. And there's still a lot of sore feelings, and this is not being turned into an angle on TV, which is why Punk is being kept apart from the Elite on a completely different show. So we can put that idea to bed once and for all. So let's move on. That's the update on Punk. That is the update on Punk. And Dynamite tonight opened with the International Championship on the line. As we have seen many times before, we have seen Orange Cassidy defending this championship in the opening segment on this show multiple times over these several months. And it has taken its toll on this poor bastard. He walks out there now. He looks like he's about to just drop dead. So tonight, he defended the international title against Kyle Fletcher, one half of Aussie Open. And we got some news to share about Aussie Open, because unfortunately, Aussie Open, they were forced to relinquish not one, but two sets of tag team titles this past week. They were forced to relinquish the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Openweight tag team titles, and they were forced to relinquish the IWGP tag team titles as well, due to an injury to Mark Davis, which is said to be a meniscus tear. And it shouldn't keep him out for a terribly long time. I mean, I've read projections that he could be back in as little as 6 weeks. But nonetheless, they were both forced to vacate both sets of tag team belts. Fightful had a report out today, though. That's the bad news, right? That's the negative news. It sucks that Mark Davis got hurt. But there's some positive news, too. Fightful had a report out today that Aussie Open has been working for New Japan all this time without a contract. They've been working contract-free for some time. And WWE, evidently, and I don't see why they wouldn't, but WWE had interest in signing them. Now, if you remember a few months ago, I think it was back in February, I think it was Mark Davis, who went on Twitter and said, we have a bunch of bookings open. Apparently, like, they weren't booked all of a sudden. Nobody wanted to book them. And I thought, this is ridiculous. They're one of the best tag teams in the world. When they wrestled FTR late last year, Dax Harwood got on the mic when the match was over and said, you two guys, you may be the best in the world right now. You two guys are the future of tag team wrestling. And I remember reading that and thinking, how are these guys not booked all over the place? These are two guys that should not be hurting for work. WWE should be calling them. AEW should be calling them. And they've been working with AEW as well, but here and there. Again, not with a contract. So I remember that. So now we come to find out that WWE did in fact have interest in potentially signing them, to the point where they retained a representative to help with negotiations. The latest that Fightful heard was that AEW was very confident that Aussie Open would sign with them. And in fact, Fightful was told that Tony Khan personally paid for Mark Davis's surgery, even though Aussie Open were not under contract to AEW. So Tony Khan was under no obligation whatsoever to pay for anyone's surgery, but he elected to personally pay for Mark Davis's surgery, which, think about it, was a very smart move. And it looks like it was very effective. It's a very effective move. Sometimes a kind gesture can go a very long way. It never hurts to be nice to people, which I think is a good life lesson, not only in wrestling, but just in general. Even when you don't have to be. Even if you don't have an ulterior motive, it's never a bad thing to be nice to people. You never know when it may come back around to you. Well, it looks like it came back around to Tony Khan, because he made the announcement late this evening that Aussie Open is now All Elite. So Indeed, they are now under contract, signed, sealed, and delivered to AEW, which is very cool to see. And hopefully we get to see a lot more of them on TV. Hopefully Mark makes it back very soon. We had them in House of Glory not too long ago. Again, these guys were all over the place for a while there, and they are an excellent tag team. So I'm very happy to hear that they landed somewhere where we should be able to see them on national television going forward. But in this match here, it was Orange Cassidy and Kyle Fletcher. There was an early brain buster right after the opening bell that almost took Cassidy out right from the drop. Later in the match, Fletcher wanted another brain buster. Cassidy countered into one of his own. OC hit a Michinoku driver, but the roll-up allowed Fletcher to hold on to a cradle, and then he dropped Orange Cassidy with back-to-back tombstone pile drivers. He gave him one tombstone pile driver, went to go give him a second tombstone pile driver, which ended up being a jumping tombstone. So two tombstone pile drivers in a row, and he goes for the cover, and Orange Cassidy kicks out. Then they went to the corner where Fletcher dropped Cassidy with an avalanche Michinoku driver, covered him, and again, Orange Cassidy kicked out of the Michinoku driver off the ropes. It would be ridiculous enough for anyone, to be kicking out of all this, let alone somebody who, in storyline now for months, has been as beaten down and just beaten down and beaten down as Orange Cassidy has been, right? I mean, this guy, like I said before, every week he looks like he's dead to the world. He's coming out. He's got different body parts all taped up. It's like he's being held together by rubber bands and paper clips. And he takes back-to-back tombstones, kicks out, avalanche, Michinoku driver, and then kicks out of that. It's just ridiculous. So the Fletcher went for the Grimstone. Cassidy spiked him with a DDT. Cassidy wanted an orange punch. Fletcher, though, countered, tried again for Grimstone. And Cassidy countered into a roll-up for the pin. So he's not winning a lot of these matches decisively. He's kind of getting by the skin of his teeth. It certainly feels like we are getting a new champion in this Blackjack Battle Royal coming up on Sunday. He's putting his title on the line against 20 other men. It's a 21-man battle royal. I assume he's one of the 21. So he's defending his championship against 20 different people on Sunday. Doesn't look very good for Orange Cassidy to be holding on to his championship. So he continues to find ways to survive. I didn't like this. I was liking the match up until the last 90 seconds or so. Up until that point, it was a good opener. And then the last, again, 90 seconds or 2 minutes happened, and I didn't like that at all. I still think Tony Khan has done a much better job of booking the international title than he has the TNT championship. Yeah, I will continue to say that because that championship really is the de facto number two title, singles title, in this company right now. But kicking out of back-to-back tombstones and then kicking out of an avalanche Michinoku driver, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's too much. And, you know, on top of that, it was the opening match. You would think this was a main event. It was the opening match of the show. And this guy is kicking out of you know, these big, spectacular moves like they're nothing. You would think that these guys were closing out an episode of Rampage. But especially in the state that he's been in, just storyline-wise, I'm watching this going, what is the logic behind this? Like, I understand he's scrappy and he's just, it's all on instinct. He's running on instinct and barely kicking out of things. But is it really necessary to do these big moves like this and then just have him kick out of it like it's nothing? I just think it's stupid. Completely took me out of the match. So not a fan of what they did here in this opener. Renee was backstage with Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks, I don't believe, is on the card on Sunday, unless something gets added at the last minute. I don't believe he has a match on Sunday. So, them doing the match, you know, on television with him and Jay White and the disqualification finish they did, which clearly was setting up another match between them, unless they announced something that I missed, is apparently not happening on the pay-per-view on Sunday, which is surprising. She was backstage with Ricky, who talked about being double teamed by Bullet Club Gold, and he's sick and tired of it. And he said if nobody is going to do anything about it, he was ready to take matters into his own hands. Well, it's too bad he didn't announce Sabu to come and watch his back. Now he's been scooped. Adam Cole already got him, so now he's going to have to find somebody else. He said that he would be part of the 21-man Blackjack Battle Royal. Well, there you go. There answers my own question. I forgot. He announced for the Battle Royal. So that's why we're not getting a rematch between them. I assume that would mean that Jay White and Juice Robinson are both in that Battle Royal as well. But he said he'll be part of the Battle Royal at Double or Nothing for the international title. All of a sudden, Juice Robinson and Jay White, they jumped him. And they hit him across the back with a steel chair. They told Starks, Bullet Club Gold wasn't quite done making his life a living hell. I would not be... Now, I'm not saying this is what they're planning on doing. But based on what Starks said here in this promo, would lead one to believe that he's going to recruit some help to help him ward off Bullet Club Gold and even the odds a little bit. And who would that person be? Hopefully... I mean, who knows? Maybe it's Action Andretti or somebody like that. But I would not be opposed to reuniting Starks and Hobbs. They used to be together as part of Team Taz. They had that big blow-off match at Grand Slam. I was in the building for that. I was looking forward to that match. I stayed in that building even though it was 12:30 in the morning when they sent these poor fuckers out there to have a match. And to their credit, they kept the crowd. Whatever was left of the crowd at that point at Arthur Ashe, they kept the crowd. They had that big blow-off match, right? And then they went their separate ways. A lot of bad blood there between the two of them. Well, that was almost a year ago. I would not be opposed to reuniting them, not to be a tag team, although they could certainly do tag matches together, but not to be a tag team, but just reuniting them as two guys coming back together to watch each other's backs. I think that could be mutually beneficial for the both of them. I don't get the sense that's the plan because my sense is they're keeping Hobbs with QT Marshall and QT's crew. So I don't think that's going to happen, but I would not be opposed to that if they wanted to put the two of them back together to sort of look out for each other, given that there's a history there. There's a mutual respect. We got Jungle Boy Jack Perry sitting down in the back for a promo. Talking about making the drive to Las Vegas. They were in Vegas tonight. They were, of course, they're in Vegas on Sunday, but they were also in Vegas tonight. Talking about making the drive to Las Vegas, remembering wrestling with his friends when he was younger. Just a few years earlier, his world was turned upside down, going into Double or Nothing. The ring gives him a purpose. It allows him to be the man he wants to be and live the life that he chooses to live. Come Monday morning on his drive home, he says that he will do it as the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. I guarantee you he won't. We have the AEW World Tag Team Champions, FTR. They were out to the ring next to address their title defense at Double or Nothing against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Cash Wheeler said that it would be easy to say that Jarrett and Lethal got where they are by playing politics in wrestling. The truth is, they've outsmarted FTR every step of the way, but at Double or Nothing, their luck runs out. Dax Harwood said that Jeff Jarrett has broken a million guitars but cannot stay relevant. Broke 6,000 guitars, never drew a dime. Shout out to Mike Graham. Harwood said that... Jarrett decided then to attach his name to the greatest tag team in the world to stay relevant. If Jarrett thinks the head of the tag team division will be two rejects from TNA, that's not going to happen. After Double or Nothing, Jarrett will have to call the Queen of the Mountain for job security, and he said that he doesn't mean Jarrett's bitch wife, Karen. He's talking about Dixie Carter. So we got a Dixie Carter. We had a Dixie Carter name drop tonight. We had a Sabu cameo. I don't know what's going on here. Mark Briscoe came to the ring. And Wheeler said, look, you have every right to be mad after what happened before. That was the angle they did where Dax got blinded. I think it was Sanjay who spit tequila in his eyes, and so he was briefly blinded. Didn't realize that the person he was giving a pile driver to was Mark Briscoe. I don't remember if that was last week or the week before. So that's what that was in reference to. Wheeler said that they went to hell and back with Mark and his brother three times. And Briscoe asked Dax, he goes, that pile driver, what did that pile driver mean? Dax said that it was a mistake. He wanted a handshake. Briscoe slapped him in the face as Wheeler tried to play peacemaker and told Mark, don't let them get inside your head. Don't let them play you for a fool. So Mark went to go leave. As he was headed up the ramp, here come the heels. And they got smiles on their faces, right? Because they think they got Mark Briscoe in their back pocket. He's going to be, he's the referee. Is he the referee or the enforcer? I think he's the referee for their tag team title match on Sunday. So Mark is going up the ramp. The first person he encounters is Karen Jarry. And, oh boy. Bobbert Reviews has unlocked Brie mode. Thank you, Bobbert. Appreciate that. So the first thing that Briscoe does, he pushes down Karen Jarrett. And he does the same thing. He shoves Sanjay out of the way. Then he goes and slaps Jeff Jarrett as Jeff is coming in for... Now, this is hilarious to me, because did Jeff not see what this man just did to his wife? Apparently not. So Jeff is coming in for the big hug, and Briscoe slaps him across the face. That knocked Jarrett down to the floor. And then he walked up to Jay Lethal. And he didn't hit Jay Lethal because he and Lethal are friends. They go back a long way, right? That was the opponent that he chose, that first appearance he made on Dynamite after Jay Briscoe passed away. He wanted to wrestle Jay Lethal. They were very emotional, so Lethal and the Briscoes, they go back a long way. And he said to Jay, he goes, look, you and me are still boys. But he told him, I'm tired of this bullshit. And then he made his way. He walked right past Satnam Singh, and he walked to the back. So a pretty basic angle here. I can't say that they did anything here to get me overly excited for this tag team title match on Sunday. But this was the final angle to sell the...
It's the amazing Gunther.
Uh-oh.
Jerry Lawler loves Gunther.
Uh-oh.
All hail Gunther.
All hail Drew Johnson, who just dropped a $50 super chat. Very excited he is to see CM Punk back. CM Punk is back, baby, says Drew Johnson. Drew with the, remember Jimmy Snuka's music? Drew is here with the super chat. Hey, Drew, thank you. I haven't heard from Drew in a few weeks. Good to see you back. Always good to see Gunther. So they really want you to think that Mark Briscoe is going to end up costing FTR the tag team titles, which he won't. By the way, I mentioned Satnam Singh. I should mention this here. You know, I told my Nightmare Factory story on the podcast, the beginning of the show on Sunday, my trip to Atlanta last week, why I was there and what we did and all that. So if you want that whole story, go listen to the podcast. But one thing I did not mention is that while I was at the Nightmare Factory, Satnam Singh was there as well. And so Satnam Singh, we were more in the area with, where the rings were, but they have a gym there. And Satnam Singh was there from the moment that we got into the Nightmare Factory, which was earlier in the afternoon, to the moment that we walked out the door. He was there the entire time by himself working out. And you can't miss him because he's fucking huge, right? I mean, he's as big in person as you would expect him to be. So it's very striking when you see this man in person, just how big he really is. But dedicated to, man. Again, working out from the moment we set foot in that place, still working out the moment that we were packing up to leave. It was amazing. So Renee was backstage, and she was backstage with Sammy Guevara. She told him that MJF wanted to relay a message through her to Sammy. The offer still stands for Guevara to lay down for him at Double or Nothing. And Sammy said, hell no, he's not for sale. He's not going to lay down for anybody. Says his whole life, people wanted to buy him out of his dreams. And he said that MJF can shove that offer up his ass, and he is the man who will take the AEW championship from MJF. Spoiler. No, he won't. So then we had the Trios Championships were on the line with the House of Black defending against AR Fox, Blake Christian, and Metalik, who we have seen working together on Ring of Honor television before. So this, for those, there was one person who was wondering before in the chat, you know, did they just slap these guys together? Have they been a team before? Yes, they have. They've been a team before. So this was contested under house rules, which means 20 counts, no rope breaks, and the challengers get to choose the final stipulation, which in this case was one man in, one man out. Tags were not necessary. They improved the lighting from the first one that they did. The lighting was a little bit different this time. It almost was like striped lighting, if that makes sense. So most of the arena was still darkened. It's more of a spotlight. It's not like they turned the entire building into one ridiculous color that hurts your eyes or anything. The spotlight is on the action in the ring. And then there were like streaks of light that were highlighting some of the fans that were in the crowd. I thought it was an improvement over what they did the first time. Brody King got dropkicked to the floor with everybody else outside, except AR Fox. AR Fox connected with an implosion senton, which will never not be cool to see. A little while later, Buddy Matthews locked in an inverted clover leaf. So Rhea Ripley, I see, has been teaching him the prism lock. So he had the prism lock applied. Open house rules, though, meant no rope breaks. So Malakai Black sank in a knee bar on Metalik at the same time. Blake Christian comes in, and he tries to break things up with kicks to no avail. Matthews just no-sold it. Brody King got him on the apron, and Brody King applied the hangman's choke to Blake Christian. So if you remember, first time I saw him use that move was in one of these battle royals they did months ago. And it was Brody King and Darby Allin. And he got Darby in that choke, and Darby is just dangling. Right? His feet are just, he's dangling over the apron until he passes out. And then Brody just let go, and he went splat on the floor. Actually, that was a battle royal that Brody King won to get a championship match against Jon Moxley, I believe. So he did the same thing here to Blake Christian. Until Christian went out, he let go, he went splat on the floor. Stereo submissions, meanwhile, in the ring at the same time, the knee bar on Metalik, and AR Fox is the one who tapped out, so the House of Black retain. I like that finish. I like that finish. Just the visual of the stereo submissions going on in the ring while this man is basically being hung out to dry over the ring apron and then dumped like a sack of garbage on the floor. So just a pretty dominant win for the House of Black, who, again, as of this moment, I don't believe has an official match on Sunday, but they do keep winning. I'd like to see them locked into an actual program. I still maintain that I would like to see them doing more with Malakai in singles matches. It's pretty clear it's not going to happen so long as they have those trios titles, which makes sense. But at some point, I want Malakai Black doing singles matches. And I would think that Malakai Black would want to be doing more singles matches. I don't want to speak for him, but there's just so much more that he could be doing on this show, and to get him into an actual dedicated program with somebody. Maybe he'll end up on Collision. Maybe he'll end up doing something with CM Punk on Saturday nights. That's a feud I'd like to see. Of all the possible opponents for Punk to be in the ring with, other than the obvious ones, CM Punk and Malakai Black, I think that would be a hell of a program. We got a video recap of the Elite reuniting last week. From there, we went backstage to the Blackpool Combat Club. Bryan Danielson opens things up talking about tonight's objective. Tonight's objective being to win the Ring of Honor tag team titles from Penta and Rey Fénix. However, the objective on Sunday is to end the Elite. And Jon Moxley said that the Blackpool Combat Club does the job the way that it's supposed to be done. There is no one in this business better than they are at stepping up to the plate when it counts. The BCC will deliver on Sunday in a storm of violence. He says they will stay calm, and they will show the world the difference between professionals and amateurs. This is a good promo. He would have a better one, though, later in the show. I said Jon Moxley was the star of the show as far as promo work tonight. For all the promos and the talking that we had on the show tonight, Moxley's work was the strongest. So after a break, the AEW World Heavyweight Champion, MJF, was out to the ring, but not before making a pit stop first at the announce desk where he picked up a drink and took a sip, and then he proceeded to splash that drink on Tony Schiavone. Why? Because he's a dick, and that's what he does. So from there, MJF made his way down to the ring. He said he looks around here at the crowd in Sin City, thinks that they're going to have to change the name to Virgin Vegas. But they already had a hotel called Virgin Vegas, right? Doesn't Richard Branson own the hotel? He said he's been asked, you know, how does it feel to have the deck stacked against him at Double or Nothing this Sunday? He said that he feels like he wants Sammy Guevara to keep shoving his tongue out until it goes into a light socket. He feels like he wants Darby Allin to get his wish granted to climb Mount Everest with his shoelaces untied. And he feels like he wants Jungle Boy Jack to get thrown into an echo chamber and be forced to speak. That way he can bore himself to death. And that one right there, that line right there was the... That was the low blow here of this promo. And not completely untrue, which is why I think that line hurts so much. He said that people throw around the word homegrown a lot. He said that doesn't get any more homegrown than him, Darby Allin, Jungle Boy, and Sammy Guevara. Talked about how they never appeared on national television before. They didn't have a cheat code like other people in this company who had years of exposure on national television. Nobody knew who they were. They were all there from day one in this company. And nobody, which is not true about MJF, because MJF was already making waves in MLW and other places. So I get what he's saying. On a national level, yes, nobody knew who he was. But there were plenty of people talking about MJF before he started to become big on AEW television. He said that they're not just a part of AEW, these four. He goes, they are AEW. And he had the entire crowd cheering for him. It was like a babyface promo. But this is MJF. So just when it looks like he's going babyface, he reminds everybody that he's an asshole. And so after he says that, he admitted that, I'm also kind of sick of this place. He said, I'm sick of AEW and I'm kind of bored due to the lack of competition and the fans not showing him the respect he thinks he deserves. He said Tony Khan knows that, and he also knows that Daddy's contract is coming up. He said that it's not a coincidence that he's facing three other men and does not have to be pinned to lose his championship. He said the fans should be worried because he might just take his ball and go home. He said it's his ball, and he's earned it, and he ran with it faster than anybody can keep up with. He said the fans would see on Sunday that his challengers are extremely talented. None of them are on the level of the devil. So Darby Allin made an entrance. Allin said that he's lost a lot in his life, but he's never lost his mind. I'm not so sure about that. I think you might want to reconsider that statement. I've seen Darby Allin do plenty of stupid shit that makes me wonder if he in fact has lost his mind. He said, I know exactly who Darby Allin is and where he's going. Talked about graduating high school and listening to people who told him to play the game. He said he listened, and it led him to working at the 99-cent store cleaning toilets. I always used to get a kick out of the 99-cent store. You know, back in the day, in my younger days, I would go into the 99-cent store, which was amazing, right? They had all these items, right? You think, oh, it's only 99 cents. No, it's not. It's $1.07. I used to say, why don't they call it the $1.07 store? False advertising. Ain't nothing in that place 99 cents. Maybe it is in your state where you live, but here in New York, once the tax is added in, it's $1.07. So don't give me that 99 cent shit. He said he moved to Atlanta and he lived in his car. He said he felt he needed to do so until he made it as a pro wrestler. He said no other company would let him skateboard with Tony Hawk. No other company would let him jump over his house in a car. No other company would let him climb Mount Everest, which he is serious about doing. He talked about that in an interview last week. Darby Allin is planning on climbing Mount Everest next year. Just so you know, over 300 people have died climbing Mount Everest. So he is going to attempt this endeavor at some point next year. I assume he'll have to disappear for a while. He may disappear permanently if he climbs Mount Everest the way that MJF said with his shoelaces untied. Darby said that he wants to be the face of AEW, and he has to win the AEW World Championship. He said he's taking MJF's title, and he might even do it with a headlock takeover. MJF didn't like that last line, and he kicked Darby in the balls, who apparently was too dumb to see it coming, even though we have seen MJF do this time and time again. He stood there, he took a kick to the dick, and he crumbled into a heap. Why? Because he is a dummy. He looks so stupid for not seeing that coming. Sammy Guevara ran out. MJF quickly got out of the ring. Jungle Boy's music played. He walked on stage. MJF tried to hit him with the big Burberry belt. Jungle Boy ducked it, knocked MJF down. Then he picked up the belt and he stared at it. And he stared back at the ring, and that's how things closed. MJF's part of this was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. But this was a pretty forgettable segment, and I just don't think that they have done a terribly great job in convincing me. I'll speak for myself. They have not done a great job of convincing me that any one of these men have any realistic chance whatsoever of walking out of this pay-per-view on Sunday with the AEW World Championship. Not a single one of them. And the weak way that they booked Jungle Boy last week, where he had a fight from underneath, I think Rush even got out of the snare trap, which is his main move. I mean, the way they booked Jungle Boy last week to win almost like a slip on a banana peel type finish almost was ridiculous for a guy that we're supposed to believe is going to contend for this world championship and walk out with the world title on Sunday. I was confused by the way they booked him last week. As much as they gave Rush, and I like Rush, but as much as they gave him in that match, it took away from Jungle Boy. So you combine that just with some of the other things they've done. Again, Darby is the one who the fans most want to see walk out with that championship. It's not Sammy Guevara, and it's not Jungle Boy. Darby Allin is the one that the people have really been behind, and he's the one that has really taken the lead on these in these promo segments from the babyface side, even more so than Jungle Boy. Darby's promo work has been some of the best promo work we've seen out of him. But I don't believe for a second that he's walking out on Sunday with the title. And what they did with him here, he's the one that the fans, I think, are most looking to be the one to take the belt from MJF, and they have him get kicked in the balls and not even see it coming when everybody else in the world did. So even the way they booked Darby in this segment was just confusing to me. Now, I think the match will be excellent. I'm expecting an excellent match from these four on Sunday, but I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying that any of these three have a real shot. We got a quick video package on the Wardlow-Christian Cage feud for the TNT title. They're going to have a ladder match, which I am looking forward to on Sunday. Wardlow said that he has spent his entire life climbing ladders, and he is the face of the Revolution ladder match winner. Arn Anderson told Cage and Luchasaurus to imagine the damage that Wardlow can do to them with a ladder in his hand. We had Taya Valkyrie against Lady Frost, fresh off Ring of Honor television. If you've not seen Lady Frost, I've seen some of her work. She's very good. She was very good here in this match as well. Taya challenges Jade Cargill on Sunday for the TBS title, so what they did here served its purpose as far as giving the challenger some momentum, a momentum boost heading into Double or Nothing. Jade Cargill, Layla Gray, Mark Sterling all walked out on stage in the middle of the match as they went to picture in picture. And it was all Taya during the commercial break until Lady Frost cut her off with a spin kick and a somersault senton. Frost went up top, connected with the tornillo, but Taya popped right up into a spear. Then both ladies were down. We had a forearm battle between the two of them. Taya ended up winning out, and she capped it off with a sit-out slam. She cut off Lady Frost with a backbreaker and then connected with the Road to Valhalla, which is Jade Cargill's Jaded, and she got the win. So, again, Lady Frost looked good, Taya looked good, and she picked up a win. And on Sunday, she will be allowed to use her finish. If you remember the stipulation in their first meeting, she was not allowed to use Jade's move. right? Mark Sterling had it banned. You can't use it. This time she'll be able to use her move. It's not going to make any difference, though. The outcome is not going to be any different. I don't see Taya being the one to break the streak on Sunday. I think they said Jade now is 60-0. So if she's 60, she'll be 61. She looks great for 61. Now, I think if she beats Taya, she'll be 61-0. That's what I'm expecting on Sunday. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, I get questions from time to time about my work week. What does it look like? I spend a lot of time working on this show, whether it's prep for Sunday or the weekly live streams, bonus content, editing. You know, it's a lot. But I love it. The problem sometimes is that I put too much into it at the expense of what I need for myself, like free time and sleep. That can have me feeling like I'm burning the candle at both ends. You may feel that way too if you're giving a lot of yourself to others and not enough to yourself. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life. It can help you learn important coping skills and how to set boundaries. It's not just for people who have suffered some sort of trauma in their lives. It has benefits for everyone. And that's why you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to fit into your schedule, no matter how busy you may be. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. So then we went backstage for the big Tony Khan announcement. AEW President Tony Khan told us that last week, they announced some of the cities for their opening tour for AEW Collision. But tonight was the location for the debut episode. That's what they were here to announce. He said the debut episode of Collision on June 17th will emanate from the United Center in Chicago, Illinois, the worst-kept secret in wrestling. And so there it is. They are not running that building without CM Punk. There was no mention of Punk. They didn't even tease it. They didn't mention anything about the second coming tagline that we've heard rumored. Nothing. Just straight up United Center, Chicago. Excalibur said tickets go on sale on Friday, and that was it. But so that will be the return of CM Punk. So clearly they worked out, for now, they've worked out whatever issues they had. I guess documents have been signed. So that fire has been extinguished until the next one pops up. All Tony needs to worry about right now, though, is getting to Chicago on June 17th. Get that first show under his belt, and then you just go from there. You know, he wanted CM Punk back. It looks like he got CM Punk back. And with CM Punk comes the added baggage of whatever's going to come with CM Punk. That's the risk that Tony Khan is taking. But he feels it is a risk that is worth taking. Now, Excalibur, like I said, he mentioned tickets go on sale on Friday. So if you want to possibly go to the show, that's the date to watch out for. I am very curious how they do as far as tickets are concerned. History would dictate that the first time you have a big event like this and they do really well, which has been the case with AEW before. I mean, look, they're going to Wembley Stadium for the first time in a few months and they've already moved over 60,000 tickets. They have already more than quadrupled. I think we're close to quadruple their all-time attendance record. Maybe not quadrupled. They've tripled it. I think they've tripled their attendance record. I'm getting ahead of myself. They may end up quadrupling it, but that hasn't happened yet. But they sold a massive amount of tickets to Wembley Stadium because it's the first AEW all-in. It's the first time for them overseas, and it's the first time for them in the UK. It's like go big or go home, right? Their first time in the Toronto market. Their first time in the New York market at Arthur Ashe Stadium. They put 20,000 people in Arthur Ashe Stadium. When they came back the second time, still had a healthy crowd, but it wasn't 20,000. You expect things to go down. The wild card here is the fact that CM Punk has been gone for 9 months. They say absence makes the heart grow fonder, and all these reports and all these rumors and all this drama, if you've been following it, is that going to create this groundswell of support? And is it going to create this intense desire to buy a ticket and go see CM Punk's first appearance in almost a year? That's the question. I'm very curious. I would expect the first time they were in that building was the First Dance, and it was for CM Punk's debut, and they had 15,000 people in that building. I'm not expecting them to get 15,000 people in this building. I would expect them to do double digits. So I would think getting at least 10K should be, you know, if people think CM Punk is going to be there, even if they don't announce him, because they didn't announce him the first time either, I would think 10K should be easy for them. But I'm not expecting them to do as well as they did the first time. And that's only natural. Second time around, usually things go down. Maybe this will be different. They're in Chicago. Maybe people are so starved for CM Punk that they sell out their allotment of tickets. I mean, that building fits a lot more than 15,000 people, but they'll probably only have it open for about 14 or 15,000. So very, very curious to see how many tickets they sell. I don't think they're going to have a problem packing it in pretty well, but I'm not expecting numbers like we have for the First Dance. So Alex Marvez was backstage with Hangman Adam Page, Pirate Page, who still had the eye patch on, asking him about the status of his friendship with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. He said that his relationship with the Bucks was always the best of friends. Him and Kenny, they were different. He said he views them as family, and they find themselves at anarchy in the arena. They've tried to take his eye, they've hurt Matt's arm, Nick's shoulder, cost Omega Don Callis. At Double or Nothing, the Blackpool Combat Club will pay in blood. So says the Hangman. So this was fine. Very basic stuff here from Hangman Page. I want to shout out, by the way, again, for those who joined late, we had Silver Tower before I went live, right before I went live, gift 50 channel memberships. So there are going to be people who are streaming into the chat, in and out, who may see that they have a badge next to their name. Their name may be in green and they don't know why. You have Silver Tower to thank. Because the gifting is totally random. So it's going to be interesting when people see that and they wonder, I wonder who it was. It was probably Silver Tower. So I want to thank him again for that. It was very cool. And again, don't forget to hit that like button. Hit the goal tonight. We'll give you the Booker
link. Jerry Lawler.
Oh, boy. Holy shit.
Magnificent. All hail Goonthar.
Man, you know, Drew Johnson, I guess he was just... He's trying to one-up Silver Tower here is what he's trying to do. Dropping another $50 Gunthar bomb on me here on a Wednesday night. Now, this is encouraging because Monday night was such a fucking bore watching that show. And even on the stream, we had a lot of people in the stream, but like not a lot of activity was going on. I think people literally may have been bored to sleep by what they were watching on Monday night. So it's nice to see that people woke up here tonight, that they are actually conscious. That's always encouraging. You could tell I didn't like that show on Monday. Thank you, Drew. Tony Schiavone was in the ring to host the contract signing for Double or Nothing. There's going to be an unsanctioned match between Chris Jericho and Adam Cole. Adam Cole came out. He had Roderick Strong with him. Chris Jericho came out. He was out there with the Jericho Appreciation Society. By signing this contract, for those wondering, why do you need a contract for an unsanctioned match? AEW is not responsible for what happens on Sunday. This is a personal contract, we were told, between both parties, between Chris Jericho and Adam Cole. So Cole immediately grabbed the... He wasn't waiting at all. He grabbed the contract, he signed it, and he slid it down the long table over to Chris Jericho. Jericho is sitting there. He's got his feet up on the table. He has this stupid look on his face. Cole says he wondered for weeks why Jericho handcuffed him to the bottom rope and made him watch while Britt Baker was beaten with a kendo stick. He said maybe it's because Jericho is a scumbag and a disgusting human being. He said the actual reason is that Jericho believes he is invincible. Cole said that he would find out how invincible Jericho is when he beats the living hell out of him. He said AEW should be happy that the match is unsanctioned because the blood will be on his hands, just the way he likes it. So between this and the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club stuff, we're getting the promise of a lot of blood and gore and guts on Sunday. So this may not be a show for the squeamish. Cole said that we would find out if Jericho could walk because he would break his legs. He said that he would find out if Jericho could talk because he's going to shatter his jaw. He would find out if Jericho could write because he's going to break his hands. He says, if I were you, I would hurry up and sign the paper, bitch. That's how he said it, bitch. So Jericho stood up, and Schiavone reminded him. He said, you agreed, no physicality. Jericho said he's not a bitch because he's not from Las Vegas. And the crowd booed. Jericho teased signing, and then he said Cole's head injury may have affected his memory. He said, what happened to Britt Baker did not go down as you remember it. And he had the footage air over again on the big screen. And then he asked, what kind of a man would allow the love of his life to get the crap kicked out of her just inches away from him? Cole lunged towards Jericho, but he got held back by Roddy. Jericho dared Cole to touch him. Then he called him a coward. Jericho said Cole can't beat him, and he knows it. He signed the contract, and he said Adam Cole was outsmarted. He goes, there's five of us. There's only two of you. Cole said, you know what? You're right. That's why I made a phone call to somebody who lives right here in Las Vegas, somebody who I idolized growing up, and one man who's crazier than all five of the Jericho Appreciation Society combined. He said, this man is homicidal. This man is genocidal. This man is suicidal. And then out comes former ECW World Champion Sabu, who still had his backstage visitor's pass around his neck. Sabu makes his entrance. He's wearing a white suit. Taz is on commentary. Obviously, Taz and Sabu, they have history together in ECW. He said he has goosebumps. Talked about how tough Sabu is. Cole tossed Sabu a chair once he got in the ring, and Sabu threw the chair at Matt Menard's face. And the heels fled the ring, and the crowd chanted for Sabu. So that was completely random. That was totally random. I was certainly not expecting Sabu to be making his Dynamite debut tonight, but here we are. So the story, I guess, is that Cole idolized him as a kid, which, you know, I question his idols. But he questioned, or he, I question. He idolized Sabu as a kid. And he needed backup, and he knows that Sabu is local, so he picked up the phone and he called Sabu to watch his back on Sunday. Here's what's confusing to me. Later on in the show, when they were running down the matches for Sunday and they put the graphics up on the screen, they had the match graphic for this match. They had Jericho, and they had Adam Cole, and they had Sabu in between them. So he was not behind Cole. He was directly in between the two of them, and above his head they had in the graphics Special Enforcer. So either he's the Special Enforcer for the match, or he's in Adam Cole's corner, which is verbally what they said. The announcers told us that Sabu is going to be in the corner of Adam Cole on Sunday. I don't think those two things can be true. I don't think that he can be the Special Enforcer but also be in Adam Cole's corner, because that seems patently unfair to me. So I'm a little confused by exactly what the point of that was, of announcing him or putting in the graphic that he's a Special Enforcer. I'm not going to make the argument about why Adam Cole would want a broken-down 58-year-old man to be the one to watch his back against at least five other men, because we have seen Sting, who is older. Sting, I think, is 63 or 64. We have seen Sting come out and kick people's asses. Although I would argue that usually when Sting comes out, he's got a baseball bat in his hand. Sabu, you could say Sabu has a chair, I guess. But look, it is what it is. The pay-per-view is in Las Vegas. I know Sabu lives in Las Vegas, and I said at the beginning of the stream, I'm going to tell you exactly why Sabu is in this match on Sunday. No doubt in my mind, the reason why Sabu is in this match on Sunday, Tony Khan is a very big ECW fan. He's publicly talked about the fact before. He used to go to the ECW arena. I think his father took him at least once. He was a big ECW fan back in the day. So he grew up watching Taz and Shane Douglas and Sabu and the Sandman and Cactus Jack and all of these different people. So that's why we're seeing Sabu on Sunday. I can appreciate the fact that Tony was a big ECW fan. He wants to give Sabu a payday. I think that's cool. And I'm sure Sabu is more than happy to get the exposure and take the money. So, look, I can appreciate what he's doing here. I was never a huge Sabu guy, so I see Sabu come out, I scratch my head. I wasn't exactly jumping up and down all excited. I know there were some people who were very excited to see him. I just am confused by this. I'm confused by the choice, but I'm assuming that's the reason why. It's just Tony Khan wanting to sort of pay it back, I guess, to the people that he grew up watching. He was a big Sabu guy, probably. And so, hey, why don't you come on in? We'll get you in for a shot. You'll do a few spots. You'll get a payday out of it. Everybody will cheer. No harm, no foul. But was it totally random? Yeah. Yeah, it was. And Sabu's been in rough shape. I mean, he walked to the ring. He didn't have to be helped or anything like that, but he's had some pretty significant health issues. In fact, there was some kind of incident not that long ago. I think only a matter of weeks ago. I think it's some, I don't know if it was a Comic-Con type event or something, and then Sabu had to go on social media and thank everybody for their concern. I don't remember exactly what happened there, but he's had some health struggles for sure. And I know the lady that he was with, I don't know if they were married or not, she passed away not too long ago. So, you know, he's been through some stuff. Yeah, 58 years old going on 78, because that was the style that he worked. I mean, Sabu beat the fucking shit out of himself over the years. I mean, what else do you expect? So, of course, he's going to have problems with his body. I don't know what they're going to have him do, but I'm sure he'll get involved physically and he'll do something. Hopefully he doesn't do some kind of big dive through a table. I'm not sure that he can survive it at this point. But there you go. Sabu is going to be at Double or Nothing on Sunday, so if you're excited about that, good for you. I can't say that I am. But that led into Roderick Strong one-on-one with Daniel Garcia. So those two stayed behind because they were already out there. So Roddy stayed behind. We had this match coming up next. Strong connected with a backbreaker, and he was controlling the action before he missed the baseball slide. He got tossed into the ring steps. And Daniel Garcia at this point, because he's a sports entertainer, decided to dance for the crowd. And his dance looked familiar. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And then Taz went and name-dropped Alex Wright. And I said, that's exactly what it is. He was doing the old Alex Wright dance from WCW. Not nearly as good as Alex Wright used to do it. But he started dancing, and it backfired on him, too. He shouldn't have wasted his time dancing. Later on, Garcia applied his Dragon Tamer submission. Strong escaped. And Roddy hit a gut buster, followed up with his end of heartache finish, and scored the pin. And this is where Excalibur confirmed that Roddy and Sabu both would be in Adam Cole's corner on Sunday. So again, is he the enforcer? Is he not the enforcer? I don't know. We got mixed messages from them on this show. The match itself here, it was fine. This is now the second straight win that Roddy has gotten over a member of the JAS. But Roddy is not the one with a match on Sunday. We got a video of Willow Nightingale winning the New Japan Strong Women's Championship, becoming the first ever Strong Women's Champion on Sunday night. She beat Mercedes Moné in the finals. Both women had won their earlier matches. They both went to the finals. They got an amazing ovation. If you remember the WrestleMania match with Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, where the bell, I think the bell rang first, but they just stood there, and they got this 2-minute-long sustained ovation from the crowd, and they were getting very emotional over it. They got a very similar type of reaction at the Pyramid on Sunday, where they were just standing there, and you know, didn't have the crying and all that the WrestleMania match did, but they were just soaking it all in. This crowd was going crazy for these two women, because they realize, all right, this is a big moment here. We're about to crown the first ever champion, first ever meeting between these two women. That was the finals match I was hoping for. I was looking forward to it. That's why I was watching the show. And so it was unfortunate that Mercedes got hurt when she fell off the top rope. We still don't have any confirmation on what the injury is. The rumor was a broken ankle. She's going to be out for a while. So it was unfortunate. Willow was not supposed to win the title. Mercedes, I mean, that whole championship was created for Mercedes. She was going to be the first ever strong women's champion. And then she got hurt. She called an audible because she realized I just can't put any weight on my legs, so we'll have Willow go over. And Willow looked as surprised as anybody. Even when she got on the mic that night to cut the post-match promo, and she was kind of rambling on and repeating the same stuff over and over, you know, she did the best she could, but she was in shock. She wasn't expecting. She wasn't planning to go out there and do a winning promo. It's like a politician who thinks they're going to lose and they have their concession speech written, and then they win and they go out there and they're like, I don't know what the fuck to say other than thank you. I wasn't expecting to win, but she did. And I was very, very happy that they showed highlights of this match and they acknowledged it. And they even showed a Willow promo at the end of this video package where Willow said that it's time to show the world just how strong she really is. I was very happy that they showed this because it would have been very easy for Tony Khan to just ignore it. It didn't happen in his company. It wasn't even the planned result. So we'll just ignore it. It has nothing to do. We have a pay-per-view to promote on Sunday. When stuff like this happens, you need to take advantage of it. They have Willow under contract. Willow Nightingale is very, very good. And now she just got this big win. She won what may be her first major championship that I am aware of. Take advantage of that. Get her on television. Let her bring out the belt and wear the belt out. You know, you're heading into Forbidden Door. That's your next pay-per-view after this weekend. It's a joint pay-per-view between your company and New Japan Pro Wrestling. So if ever there was a time to send somebody out there wearing a New Japan belt on TV, even though there's already plenty of belts, now is the time. You were handed this. It was never planned, but it happened. Take advantage of it. Use it to help get her over that much more on TV. Get her on Dynamite. Don't just put her on Ring of Honor. Get her on Dynamite. Let her start racking up some wins. Maybe she'll have a match at Forbidden Door. Maybe she'll defend the title at Forbidden Door. It's unfortunate because I'm almost positive Mercedes wasn't just going to win the belt, but she was probably going to be at Forbidden Door. I don't know what the match would have been, if it would have been her and Jade, or I don't know what the match would have been. But obviously that's not happening now. But take advantage of this. So the fact that they showed this, I was very happy to see that. We had the main event on this show. The Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles. It was Penta and Rey Fénix, the Lucha Brothers, defending their championships against Claudio Castagnoli, the reigning Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion, and Wheeler Yuta. This is, of course, the product of Claudio beating, I believe it was Fénix. And as a result of that, the loser would have to defend their title against the winner. Hence why Claudio is getting a tag team title match on this show. Penta and Fénix, they hit early stereo dives. After the final commercial break, Claudio performed the swing on Fénix, and he released him into a code breaker from Yuta. We had Alex Abrahantes bickering with the referee while Penta and Fénix set up for their finish on Yuta. All of a sudden, the Young Bucks appeared from under the ring, and they grab a hold of Claudio's legs. They will not allow him to get into the ring to break up the attempt. So they've got him, and that allows the Lucha Bros to hit their double stomp Fear Factor finish and pin Yuta to retain the tag team titles. There's a lot of good action in between all this, so it was a good match, but why is there a Ring of Honor tag team title match here headlining this show? It was because of this. It was because of the angle at the end of the match. They wanted to give the Elite something, some way that they could screw over the Blackpool Combat Club and piss them off going into the show on Sunday. And this was their way of doing that. And it got the Lucha Bros some FaceTime on television tonight. The Bucks delivered double super kicks to Claudio after this, and they fled into the crowd as Jon Moxley ran down to the ring. Bryan Danielson joined him. Bryan Danielson had been on commentary. Excuse me, he'd been on commentary. So Moxley and Danielson ran down to the ring. The Bucks are in the crowd. Moxley is fuming mad. and he asked for a microphone. He cut a promo on the Young Bucks. He said, you laugh, you smile. Go ahead, laugh and smile while you still can. Go back to your room, go FaceTime your family while they can still recognize you. Because this Sunday, you're going to get plastered on the pavement on Las Vegas Boulevard. He said, anarchy in the arena will be the most violent match in AEW history because they will not accept anything less. If you think the Blackpool Combat Club has gone too far, if you've been offended, if you're squeamish at the sight of blood, he said, buckle your goddamn seatbelt because you have not seen anything yet. So it was short, it was to the point, and I thought it was a very effective promo to send things home and close out the show. If Jon Moxley is promising violence and gore, then you know that violence and gore is what you are going to get on Sunday. So I thought it was very effective for what it was, but I thought the show overall was a mixed bag. I mean, we got some good wrestling, and the Moxley promo I thought was fire at the end there, but and also some people are going to like the Sabu cameo. They're going to mark out for it because they like Sabu or they grew up watching Sabu, and that's cool. But I thought the Four Pillars stuff was weak. And the problem with that is that that's your main event on Sunday. I assume they're going to close out the show with that. It's always possible, I guess, they could close with Anarchy in the Arena because the biggest angle they have right now is the Blackpool Combat Club and the Elite. That's bigger than anything they've been doing with MJF. But I'm assuming that the MJF match will, you know, headline the show. That's your main event. And I thought the Four Pillars stuff was very weak. As you know, not much really also to write home about as far as the other matches on the show. We had little video packages. You know, again, they did mention each of the key matches, and they had videos as well, but it just didn't feel like, you know, a terribly great push to really drive as much interest as possible in some of these matches as they could have done. In my opinion, I was not left any more excited to see this match on Sunday. I have my matches that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the Anarchy in the Arena. That was one of my favorite matches last year. The Christian Cage match, I'm looking forward to that match as well. I think the Unsanctioned match is going to be a lot of fun as well. Jericho and I mean, it would be impossible for Chris Jericho and Adam Cole to not have at least a good match. The Four Pillars match on Sunday is going to be excellent, even if the outcome is predictable. So it was a mixed bag trending on the positive side for me, as far as the show overall tonight. Now, the Double or Nothing lineup, let me run through what the lineup is officially as of this moment. And we have Rampage yet to come. Well, is Rampage airing on Friday? I didn't pick up on whether or not the show is back in its normal time slot. I don't think so. I think the show is still being bounced around. But there should be a Rampage before Double or Nothing. And maybe we'll get another couple of matches announced. But as of this moment, we have the Four Pillars match for the championship. We have Anarchy in the Arena. We have the Unsanctioned match. We have Jamie Hayter defending the AEW Women's Championship against Toni Storm. We have FTR defending the tag team titles against Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. We have Wardlow defending the TNT title against Christian Cage in a ladder match. We have Jade Cargill defending the TBS Championship against Taya Valkyrie. And we have the 21-man Blackjack Battle Royal for the International Championship with Orange Cassidy against the World. You know, Ricky Starks is in there. Beyond that, I'm not sure who all 20 men are going to be, or if they're going to have a Joker entrant. I don't believe they mentioned that. I'm going to have predictions for the show on the podcast on Sunday, so that'll be on episode 810. We'll run through the final card and do predictions. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. Overall, a positive score for tonight's show, with over 800 votes in so far. 67% of you have given the show a thumbs up. And roughly 33% of you have given the show a thumbs down. So a overall positive score for Dynamite tonight. At Solomonster on Twitter, you guys know the place to go. You guys can go ahead and you can vote. So let's address Jake Hooper, who is in the chat right now. It says, Solid Monster is so in the tank for the Elite. He is so anti-punk, and he refuses to say all this is Tony Khan's fault and not CM Punk's. Well, let me explain something to you, Mr. Cooper. Let's hang with Mr. Cooper here for a few minutes, shall we? Clearly, you have not been paying attention to what I have been saying. And here's the thing that really just pisses me off. If somebody has an opinion that's different from yours, that's cool, right? Because everybody has different opinions on different things. We're not talking about opinion. We're talking about ignorance. And if you're going to come at me and you're going to claim that I'm in the tank for this guy, or I blame Punk and I don't blame Tony Khan, then you're not paying attention. And you really just don't have any clue what you're talking about. Because if you did, you would know that I have blamed Tony Khan for this plenty of times, going all the way back to what happened in September. How many fucking times have I blamed Tony Khan for what happened? How many times have I blamed Tony Khan for not stopping that scrum in the middle of it as it was going on and putting his foot down and doing something about the situation, right? You've heard me talk about this, except Mr. Cooper apparently has not done that. So let me school you and let you know that I have already taken Tony Khan to task for his role in this entire situation. He is not blameless. Punk is not blameless. Nobody is blameless in this situation. It's not a matter of me being in the tank for the Elite. It's me stating facts, and that rubs people the wrong way, especially CM Punk fans, who CM Punk can do no wrong, and so anybody who says anything negative about CM Punk is a hater. You sound like an idiot. Don't be an idiot. It's not a matter of being in the tank for one person over the other. All I have done is I have explained why Tony Khan is taking a risk by getting back into bed with CM Punk. Because this is not the first time that there's been some sort of an issue. And there is great potential for this to happen again at some point in the future, which I'm sure is why Tony Khan has him signing all kinds of legal documents to try to protect himself from something like this happening again. Now, if CM Punk can show up to work and get along with everybody, I'm sure CM Punk could do big business for Tony Khan. And that's why Tony Khan wanted to bring him back. Give him a second chance, because he realizes that CM Punk is a star. He has buildings that he has already booked for these collision shows and feels he needs CM Punk. The reality is, he does need CM Punk. He does need CM Punk if he wants to sell as many tickets as possible in these buildings. He needs CM Punk if he wants to sell tickets in the United Center. I've never denied that. Of course he does. CM Punk is a star. But CM Punk, just because he is a star, does not mean that he gets to get away with murder and he can do whatever he wants. Or if Ace Steel is brought back and then Tony Khan doesn't want to let Ace Steel come to the buildings anymore, that he can pitch a fit and get what he wants, even though it looks like he may have gotten what he wants. We don't know. We don't have all the details yet. This is not a situation where you need to pick sides here. Everybody looks like a fucking idiot in this situation. Everybody looks like just juvenile bullshit on all sides. It's not a matter of picking one side over the other. I play for Team Punk. I play for Team Elite. I'm not on a team. I don't like teams. Why do you think I host my show by myself?
The Amazing Goonthar.
I don't work well with others. I like doing my own thing.
The Magnificent. All hail Goonthar.
So does Goonthar, too. Me and Goonthar are about to fuck some shit up around here. So, again, I see these comments, and I saw yours, and I said, you know what, why not just address the elephant in the room right now? Put this shit to bed once and for all. You don't take Tony Khan to task. Get the fuck out of here. You clearly don't watch my streams, you don't listen to the podcast, so I can't take anything you say seriously. If you honestly believe that. Where have you been for months? This is the comment that you make. Of all the comments that you can make to me, that's the comment that you make? Jazz. We'll start with Jazz here in the Super Chat. Jazz Jackrabbit, thank you for the $4. What is the first WWE shirt that you ever got? Mine was HBK in 93 because they did not have Mr. Perfect. Looking forward to hearing about yours. Jazz, the earliest shirt that I have is the original WrestleMania shirt. father and my grandfather went to Madison Square Garden for WrestleMania 1. I still have the shirt. It has the original WrestleMania logo on it, so that would be the earliest wrestling shirt that I have. The comedic genius says, drop a like for Be the Booker. Watch all your videos at work. That's very cool. I appreciate that. I believe we've already hit the goal. So the goal tonight was 400. We already smashed that. So, yes, we will be doing Be the Booker in a little bit. Shaquille Oatmeal says, buy or sell the Four Horsewomen or AEW Four Pillars. I'm a fan of the Horsewomen. I'm a fan of Sasha and, you know, Becky when she was on that run. And, you know, I mean, I'm a fan of the Pillars too, don't get me wrong, but I got to go with the Horsewomen on that one. Nick Grosso, not a very eventful show, but it was great to see Sabu. He's going to turn on Adam Cole, isn't he? And any chance that RVD shows up on Sunday? I believe RVD may be under a Legends deal with WWE. So if that's the case, then no, we will not be seeing. We just saw him on television with the draft a few weeks ago. So no, I'm going to assume he's under some kind of contract with them. So we have got Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. It's crazy how New Japan Pro Wrestling has 13 championship title belts. The one thing respect about it, they value the in-ring competition so much. They have a lot of championships. They have a lot of titles. So, you're not wrong about that. Hey, Gordon Smith, thank you for the $4.99. I appreciate that, brother. It says, who do you want to be the collision announced?
It's the amazing Goonthar.
We'll take a break.
Jerry Lawler loves Goonthar the Magnificent. All hail Goonthar.
Ah, damn. Drew is coming in hot tonight, man. What is that? I think that's the fourth Goonthar tonight. Man, Drew's an OG, man. Drew always comes in, in the clutch here on these streams. Drew, I'm going to get to all your messages here as we go along. You are the man. The Collision announced team, he says, Nigel has to be one of them. Rick Abani and Caprice would be very good, too. Yeah, I would love to hear Nigel on the Collision announced team. I know Jim Ross said that he hopes that he gets to work on Collision. I think the ideal team, I don't want Excalibur on the show. We got enough Excalibur as it is. I think, but I also don't see them just taking the Ring of Honor team and doing it. I think, you know, Rick Abani and Caprice, they're a very good announce team. I would like Nigel to be on color. And as far as the play-by-play man on the show, that's a good question. I mean, I wouldn't mind if they wanted to, I guess, have Rick Abani be the play-by-play guy. I just don't really have an appetite for more Excalibur. I think he does enough for them as it is. I think you want Collision to be as different from Dynamite as possible. That's why I would love for them to have a different set, different type of set, just a kind of a different look overall for the show. And I think the soundtrack needs to be different as well. By soundtrack, I mean commentators. I don't know what other play-by-play guys they have access to right now. I know some people are going to say Mauro Ranallo, put Mauro and Nigel back together from the NXT days. I don't know that Mauro would want to do weekly television. You know, it might be better off not having Vince McMahon in his ear, but I don't know that he wants to do it. I don't know that it's necessarily the best thing for him to be doing. If he was interested, I would absolutely love to have Mauro and Nigel back together as the announced team, but I just don't know how likely that is. Jazz Jackrabbit, your take on any TV changes that Mike Mansouri has initiated? I don't know that I've seen that many crazy changes. I wish they would fix their audio. They're still having audio issues on most weeks. But I mean, as far as some of the changes since Mansouri joined the company, I've noticed maybe a few different camera angles that they've been using, but I don't think we've seen any radical changes production-wise since he came into the fold. But again, the way they shoot television is not really the issue. It really is more an issue with the audio, usually, than it is anything on video. So I don't know what massive changes he would have initiated. If it's something that he's done, it's been under the hood, and I just don't know what that is. We've got Jacob Donnelly. I'm not Canadian, but if Regina is pronounced the way Tony Khan says it, that is hilarious. Indeed, it is Regina. It is Regina. I had it wrong at first. I was saying Regina for a while. I was corrected. I was told it is pronounced the way that you think it is pronounced. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. Tonight, I am making a bold prediction for New Japan's women's division. I predict by next year, New Japan will have 15 female wrestlers under contract. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Stardom is owned by the same parent company, and they're the all-female promotion there. Now that they've added a strong women's championship, it would certainly make sense for them to ramp up the number of women. I don't think they're going to have 15. I think you're overplaying the number a little bit. I do think they'll have some more, but I think 15 is a little high. Daniel Parker with the $9.99. Sabu made the whole show for me. Too many classic hardcore matches flashed through my mind seeing him. First in particular, Funk and Sabu, where he tore his arm open and wrapped it up to finish. Didn't he glue it shut? I thought he super glued the wound shut. Dennis Diaz, shout out Silver. That's right, Silver Tower. Silver Tower and Drew Johnson, man. Those two guys are the stars of the show tonight. AJ Lupo with the 1992. Thank you, AJ. I look forward to Muffin Man Punk returning next month. Also, why is Jamie still with Britt? She needs to get out of her shadow. I hope Jamie can break out soon. Should have broken out a long time ago. But now Britt's a babyface, and so they're probably just going to keep them together until one of them goes heel. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. Screw it. AEW will make MJF champion for 1,000 days, so they better not. No more of these 1,000-day runs. Hey, Thomas Rondon, thank you, brother, for becoming a Sound Off superstar. Daniel Parker, the house always wins, especially when Buddy uses Rhea's submission, Chef's Kiss. I noticed that right away. As soon as he locked on the move, I said, oh, she's been giving him lessons. Nick Grasso, coming out of Double or Nothing, any chance that Jungle Boy Jack Perry turns heel and maybe Sammy Guevara turns face and leaves the JAS? It's a very weird situation right now because he never left the Jericho Appreciation Society, which is a heel faction, but he's been booked like a babyface now for weeks. So when he loses on Saturday, or on Sunday, does he just go back to being a heel with the JAS? I don't think so. I think he goes back to the JAS, but he's a different person now. And they can play a whole angle around him not feeling entirely on board with some of the stuff that Jericho is doing, and they can slowly build to him splitting away on his own. You know, him and Ty Mello both. But he's just so easy to hate. I'm not saying he can't be a great babyface. He's just so easy to hate. I don't know if the people are going to take to it. Jungle Boy going heel, I could see. I think Jungle Boy goes heel. Him and Anna Jay, you put them together as a package deal. I think that could work. I'm not convinced that he's ready to cut a heel promo, though. But I don't know that he'll get good at it unless he has the chance to actually go out there and do it. I have not seen it in him yet on the promo side. His promos have gotten better, but that doesn't mean they're great. Can he go out there and cut a great heel promo? I'm not so sure about that. I'm not sure he's ready for that. Daniel Parker said it last week, and I'll say it again. Let Miro eat. First meal is Orange Cassidy, and he maims him. No offense to Cassidy, just the Redeemer. Well, if he's in the Battle Royal on Sunday, he could win the international title there. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. I like Orange Cassidy. I have no personal issue with him. Tony Khan has to be careful of pushing him down everybody's throats. Well, his run is coming to an end. You're not going to have to worry about that much longer. But he's one of their big stars on the show. So even when he loses the championship, you're still going to see Orange Cassidy. You know, the people who don't like him, they're just going to have to get over it. Bobbert Reviews, thank you for that $25 Bree Mode super chat. Says, keep drawing those dimes. Trying. Griga with the $2. Thank you, Griga. Snowdog in the chat wants to know, how would you turn Jungle Boy heel without it looking forced? Very simple. I think you could even do something as early as this Sunday if you wanted to. You can work a spot in the main event where, let's say, Darby has the match won and Jungle Boy breaks it up, which he has every right to do. And then post-match, you know, maybe Jungle Boy, or do it the other way where Jungle Boy has the match won and maybe Darby or Sammy break it up. You know what? That works better. If Darby is the one to break up the winning fall for Jungle Boy. Because if he beats up Sammy, I don't know that people are going to care. But if you have Jungle Boy lose his shit, whether it's after the match or on the next episode of Dynamite, he just goes ballistic on Darby Allin. Darby is a fan favorite. People love Darby. If Jungle Boy were to target the right person, the people would boo him. He's not boo-proof. Like, if he goes after Darby Allin in some sort of vicious attack because he feels Darby cost him the chance to become the AEW World Champion, and he just goes nuts on this guy, that would be one way I think the crowd would turn against him. After that, it's up to him verbally if he can carry a promo. And, you know, well, I don't know if it's the You People promo or what he would say in the promo, but it's not that hard. I don't think it would be very hard to get people to boo him, you know? Look, he's this pretty boy, and if he embraces it and he starts walking around as like Hollywood Jack Perry, believe me, the people are going to boo him. Hollywood Jack Perry with Anna Jay at his side? You don't think people would boo him? This was Drew Johnson's first or second $50 bomb here, talking about CM Punk being back. Thank you, Drew. Tuxedo T Servo, thank you for the $5. And Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. House of Black against the Hardys and Isaiah Cassidy is coming up next. Most likely. Dan Richards. Gargano was heard saying Orange Cassidy's kickouts a bit much. When Johnny Gargano is saying that, you know it's a bit much. Turtlehead with the $4.99. Do you think AEW would benefit from monthly pay-per-views? No. He says, it seems as though it's hard to keep people's interest in storylines for 2 to 3 months. What say you? 2 to 3 months is nothing. I don't think it's an issue keeping people's attention for 2 to 3 months. I think it's an issue with bipolar booking, where people will appear on the show and then they'll disappear. That's the issue that Tony Khan has to fight against.
It's the amazing Goonthar. Jerry Lawler loves Goonthar the Magnificent. All hail Goonthar.
All hail the mighty Drew Johnson, who just dropped another bomb on us. You are an incredible man, Drew. An incredible fellow is this Drew Johnson, dropping another $50 here on the stream. Bombs away. To answer your question, no, I don't think AEW needs it. I know it's the way things are now. WWE has monthly pay-per-views, UFC. God, UFC, it feels like they have weekly fucking pay-per-views. It may be inevitable that that's the direction they go in, especially if they do eventually land a streaming deal with Max, if that eventually happens. I could see them moving to monthly specials. I don't think it's necessary. You ask me if I think it's needed, I don't think it's needed. They could certainly add a couple more, but I don't have the great desire to watch monthly shows as if it's something that this company desperately needs. I don't think they do. It's actually one of the things I appreciate about AEW is the fact that they don't have monthly pay-per-views. And they stretch things out. Now, I don't mind them if they want to add a sixth annual show. If they went up to eight, I wouldn't go higher than that. Then it's up to them as far as how they spread those eight shows out. Because now they have five. If you include Forbidden Door, right now they have five. Six to eight, I think, would be palatable. Beyond that, I just don't think it's needed. Moroa, with a $20 super chat, says Takeshita and Don Callis align with the Blackpool Combat Club at Double or Nothing. And then Blood and Guts, we get 5-on-5. Elite's mystery partner is revealed to be Kota Ibushi. Clearly he meant Kota. Unless that's Ibushi's evil twin. Also, Adam Cole should be MJF's next feud. Keep up the good work. Those are both things that I have already pitched. So you and I are thinking along the same lines. I said I think the main event for All Out is Adam Cole and MJF. And the Kota Ibushi idea, I've been laying that out now for weeks. I think you're onto something. Drew Johnson with the $50. Solomonster, you're the man. Have not been around because of work. I listen to your streams on my 50-minute commute. I remember those. Glad I can support the channel when I am here. I'm glad that you made it. I'm glad you're back. I remember those commutes. I don't miss them. Darius Roby with the $4.99. The same people clamoring for CM Punk's return now are going to be the same hypocrites hating his guts with a passion after his first week back. Boomerang. I was dying when I saw Mark Briscoe do like Bernie Mac in Head of State to Jeff Jarrett and Sanjay Dutt. Oh, Bernie Mac. I miss Bernie Mac. MH Nova. Delta Solo and GWO. Asuka has the most WWE main event pay-per-view wins by women with 4. Mercedes is 0-for-5 in pay-per-view main events. What would your match order be for Double or Nothing? Well, let's take a look here. I have the lineup right in front of me. I would open the show with the Blackjack Battle Royal. I would follow that. Well, again, it's tough because I don't think this is the full card. I think there's going to be a couple of matches added. I would follow the Blackjack Battle Royal with the TBS title match. I'd want to space out the women's matches. So I'd have Jade and Taya go on second. After that, I would say after that we go with the tag team title match with FTR. Then I would go to the ladder match. I would go to the... Yeah, it's tough because you got Anarchy in the Arena and you got Unsanctioned, which are kind of similar in that anything goes, right? And in both instances, we were promised blood. I wouldn't want to do those back-to-back. So I don't know exactly... I don't know where I would slot them. I would probably go with the Unsanctioned match first and then do Anarchy in the Arena a little bit later on. See, I don't know what they have planned for the finish of Anarchy in the Arena. If it were me, just based on my feeling of the hype for this show, I would be inclined to do Anarchy in the Arena last. I really would. I think that's going to be a tough match to follow. I personally am most excited for that match. I would hate to take away, because we've been talking about how, oh, it's cool, we're going to get the first ever main event of an AEW pay-per-view with, you know, all original talent, and then not put them in the main event. But I'm thinking, if it were me, I'd put Anarchy in the Arena on last, I think. I really do. I really think that's what I would do. I think I would put that match on last. Drew Johnson again with the $50, man. Whew. Thank you, sir. Says, I love CM Punk and I love you. Keep it real, and that's why I listen to you. Oh, holy shit. Oh my god.
We're having a party here on the street. Where's Barry Horowitz?
Oh my god, it's our friend Silver Tower just dropped a $150. I believe $150. That's what the conversion is. $150 super chat from Silver Tower after gifting 50 channel memberships. Earlier in the day, I don't know if it looks like you may have gotten a late tax return or something. I don't know, man, but holy shit. Silver Tower, you got me speechless. Silver Tower, you have got me absolutely speechless. All right, we're gonna put an end to that. What can I say, man? What can I say? Thank you very much. I appreciate that more than you know. Silver Tower, if I had a Hall of Fame, maybe one day we will. We'll have like a Sound Off Hall of Fame. I'm etching your name. You're getting a nameplate on the giant Hall of Fame wall. Fucking A, man. Ultra Diamond. I think we may have to upgrade. Ultra Diamond. The ghost of John Gotti. This may be Professor John Gotti under a new alias. They had to send Professor John Gotti into the Witness Protection Program, and he became Silver Tower. He did get a lot of disposable income this way. Well, I thought so. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it more than you know, man. Especially in a busy week like this. It shows me that, you know, what I'm doing is meaningful to some people. So thank you very much. Oofman Entertainment, on behalf of the mods, our bad. Now, I just took care of it for you. I was going to let it slide, but then it became clear, you know, I thought we were actually having a legitimate dialogue, but then it became clear it was just a troll. So unfortunately, we had to get rid of it. Xeno Slayer. Hey, Solomonster, have you seen the new Spider-Man 2 gameplay today? It looks beautiful. I have not. No, I have not. I did see the gameplay, though, for Fight Forever, which is officially out on June 29th. At long last, we have a release date for this game. And so I saw some of the gameplay. It was Evil Uno and Orange Cassidy. They were on a stream playing the game. But what I saw looked pretty good. I mean, it's hard to tell until you actually get hands-on with these games. I like the arcade-style play for it. I know some people are already complaining, oh, it's not like WWE 2K, the graphics look bad or whatever. It's like, I want to get hands-on with the game and see for myself, but that doesn't bother me so much. Again, the whole game was supposed to be kind of based off of No Mercy from all those many years ago. Everybody raves about No Mercy to this day. And if this is anything like No Mercy, I would think a lot of people are going to end up being very happy. Drew Johnson. So you keep it real. Let's go. Solomonster is my man. We've got Dennis Diaz. Looking forward to Night of Champions or Double or Nothing More. I'm looking forward to both shows. I would say if I had to rank one over the other that I am looking forward to the most. Which show am I looking forward to of the two? I am looking more forward to Double or Nothing. I think the stronger of the two cards on paper is Double or Nothing. Just with the Anarchy in the Arena match alone, the Unsanctioned match, the Four Pillars match, the Ladder match. Look, I'm looking forward to the Jamie Hayter match, too. You know, her and Toni Storm had a hell of a match the last time they were in the ring together. I'm looking more forward to that than I am, you know, Rhea and Natty. Or Bianca and Asuka should be good. Again, we've already seen it. Cody and Brock. Roman going for the tag team belts. I gotta put Double or Nothing, easily. We have got Moroa again. Not that I want to see an ECW reunion or RVD on Sunday, but I believe the Legends contract did not stop Bret Hart appearing on the inaugural 2019 Double or Nothing. Well, the way the contracts are now, I don't believe he would be able to be on the show. And I'm not sure if Bret was under a Legends deal at that point. But if he was, I think the deals may be a little bit different now than they were back then. Specifically to avoid something like that from happening. Trill Mexican 305. Here at work once again, listening to your review since I didn't watch. Awesome as always. Question, who was the bigger bust WWE signed during the Attitude Era? Vader or Dr. Death? Well, Dr. Death never got any main events like Vader did. At least Vader got a SummerSlam match with Shawn Michaels. You know, he got some big matches. Dr. Death never competed for a championship. He was never featured in any kind of major angle. And then you look at what happened to him in Brawl for All. It was an embarrassing situation. I mean, to say that it didn't work out the way they had hoped would be an understatement. So easily Dr. Death. And Vader was also misused and never reached his full potential in WWE. But he had more success than Dr. Death did. Kareem says, what did you eat today? It's a weird question. What did I eat today? Food. What did you eat today? Chris C. What's up, Solo? Bret on Goldberg. As a wrestler, 1 out of 10, he is a 0. Yep, that sounds like Bret. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. Anarchy in the Arena will be a bloody and violent match. Moxley will chainsaw Matt Jackson, and Kenny Omega will pour acid on Claudio. Can't wait. Drew Johnson with the $50 Super Chats. Makes perfect sense, Solo Monster. It is going to be Sammy against Jericho and Perry against Darby after Double or Nothing. Yeah, I mean, after talking about it 2 minutes ago, I think I may have sort of walked into that. I think it makes all the sense in the world. MJF retains. Jungle Boy maybe either turns heel or starts a heel turn. Feuds with Darby. And the story with Jericho and Sammy slowly breaking away from the JAS can play itself out. He basically will get the Daniel Garcia story, only they never paid off the Daniel Garcia story. So they can go with Sammy instead. Silver Tower, again, with that $153 super chat. As I know Sabu is not your cup of tea, but this got me super into the Cole Jericho match and looking forward to it. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said before, I just was never... Like I said that about... I used to say that about New Jack. People ask me, what do you think about New Jack? Never a New Jack guy. And I never could understand why people were so into New Jack considering some of the things that he did. But, you know, Sabu's another one. I just was never a big Sabu guy, but there were a lot of people who loved Sabu. And they grew up watching him and saw all of his matches in ECW. To think that Sabu had a match with John Cena once upon a time in WWE. It's just not for me. But if it's for you, I think that's cool. Clearly, he had a lot of fans in the building tonight. I mean, they popped for him. Moroa, with Aussie Open signed, do you think we see the two of them with Will Ospreay against House of Black in a House Rules match at either Forbidden Door or All In? All In is too far down the road to predict what the Trios title match is going to be. I would think if they get Ospreay on that show, they would want him in a singles match. Forbidden Door, same thing. I mean, I wonder about his health, because apparently his shoulder is still not great. He has some sort of AC joint injury of some kind. But he's going to be wrestling Lance Archer in a few weeks. The winner of that match is going to challenge next for the IWGP US title, probably at Forbidden Door. It just seems to me we're going to get Omega and Ospreay at Forbidden Door as long as Ospreay is physically able to do it. That's the match I would want to see. I personally, I have no interest in seeing him in a six-man tag. I want to see him one-on-one. match I want to see is Ospreay and Omega. So I hope that's the match we get next month. A puppet just subscribed. You are now my puppet. Thank you for the sub. QB, would you open Double or Nothing with the Four Pillars match? I think I would open with the Battle Royal.
It's the Amazing Goonthar. Jerry Lawler loves Goonthar, the Magnificent.
Oh my god.
All hail Goonthar.
HBK is still better than Brett. I knew at some point we were going to get that. I was just waiting. I was waiting for Drew to kind of sneak that in there. Can I say, look at all the love he's dropped on me tonight. I think you've turned me into a Shawn Michaels over Bret Hart fan for one night only. But as far as opening with the Four Pillars match, I wouldn't do it. It's not something I would do. Even if I don't headline with it, I don't think I would open the show. Opening with that as your world championship match just wouldn't sit right with me. Moroa, if Perry turns here and goes Hollywood with Anna Jay, would Stokely becoming his manager to do the talking for him be a good idea? I wouldn't hate that. I actually think that would be a pretty good idea. I think he needs to learn on his own. I think they want him to be able to cut promos on his own, but at least initially, if he had a mouthpiece with him, Stokely Hathaway is great. Dr. Scorpio, I heard they are remaking Lord of the Rings trilogy, one of them called The Two Silver Towers. I will show myself out. Thank you, Doctor. Jazz Jackrabbit with the $4. What is the scheduling for this weekend? Not sure if you're reviewing right after the pay-per-views. Looking forward to tuning into your reviews live this weekend. The schedule is as follows. The Night of Champions show airs at 1 o'clock Eastern. So I figure it'll be over around 4, probably. As soon as Night of Champions is over, either 4, 4:30, somewhere in that range, I will be live on YouTube. I will be going live right after that show is over. We'll review that. And then on Sunday, we have the regular podcast. Sunday night is Double or Nothing. I'm already dreading how late the show is going to go. Most likely, I will not be going live until after midnight. But whenever that pay-per-view is over, same thing. I'll be live. So to answer your question, as soon as the shows are over, you can come back here. We'll have the page up. I try to get the pages up at least a few hours before so you guys can hang out and interact, because we got a whole community here. We always have a couple of bozos who pop up, but when you bounce them out of here, it's actually quite fun. So you guys will get to hang out and wait for me, and then we'll do the reviews. So it's going to be a busy weekend. And Drew Johnson with the $50 drop from a couple of minutes ago. HBK is still better than Brett. Good night, my friend. Good night to you. Thank you for all the love. Naughty Delicious says, imagine AEW bringing in the House of Torture. The heat that evil would get in front of the American crowd. Don't put that on me. Don't put that evil on me. Or any of us. Nobody is asking for evil to be on AEW television. AEW has enough of an issue with their own talent getting them on the shows. We don't need evil on these shows. Is there a SmackDown review on Friday? Yes, there is. So we'll be here Friday night as well. We're going to be here. Well, obviously, we're streaming tonight. We're streaming Friday night. We're streaming Saturday afternoon. Podcast Sunday. Live stream Sunday night. Streaming on Monday night. Oh, my God. I just realized that's a lot. That's a lot, but as long as you guys are here, I'll be here too. We can close the month out strong. I want to close the month of May out strong. I want to close this month out on a high note. I can't do that without you guys. Tonight, let me tell you something. Tonight is going a long way to doing that. With all the memberships and all the super chats, man, you guys knocked it out of the fucking park tonight. So we smashed the goal earlier for Be the Booker, as if there were ever any doubt. So Let's go ahead and be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
It is time to be the booker. There is Toni Storm. She will be competing for the Women's World Championship on Sunday. And perhaps we'll land on her when we do Women's Be the Booker here in a little bit. I don't know. Let's find out. Let's start with the men. Let us start with the men. My God, so much content, so little time. We got Dynamite tonight. We got SmackDown. We got Night of Champions. We have Double or Nothing. We have Monday Night Raw. We have, and don't forget, there's also an NXT show this weekend, which I will not be watching live because it's literally airing at the same time Double or Nothing is. We have NXT Battleground on Sunday night. I don't know when I'll get to that, but I'll get to that at some point. We begin with Samoa Joe, who is going to be part of the AEW Collision roster on Saturday nights. Obviously, the rumors were that CM Punk wants to work with Joe. I don't know if that means a match or a full program with him, but that is supposedly that is what CM Punk is interested in. The Samoa Joe one-on-one with Cody Rhodes. The American Nightmare and Samoa Joe one-on-one. How about that? There's a main event for you. How about the promos between Cody and Joe? There's a feud we missed out on. On the women's side of the equation here, we kick things off with, not her again, Nikki A.S.H. I feel like, didn't we just land on her on Monday? Was it Monday or was it last week? I feel like we just picked her recently. A terrible gimmick that was. Nikki A.S.H. against Willow Nightingale. I tell you what. Don't like the Nikki A.S.H. gimmick. I absolutely hate. But Nikki Cross is good. And you get Nikki Cross in the ring with Willow, who just won the Strong Women's Championship, and I think that could be a very good match. It's funny how we landed on Willow. I just got done talking about her. I think this is the first time that she's come up here and be the booker. So I gave this the bell because I actually think it could be a good match, even though I hate that fucking gimmick. I think these two would have a good match. If they just let Nikki Cross be Nikki Cross, I think that could be pretty good. On the tag team side, we begin with, well, look at what we have here. We have the Body Donnas. And right smack dab in the middle, next to Chris Candido, is Sunny. And that is going to be the first episode of the new season of Dark Side of the Ring, which kicks off next week. You know what that means? That means the Dark Side of the Ring reviews are coming back. First episode, Chris Candido and Tammy Sitch. This was Chris Candido and Tammy Sitch in happier times. It's going to be the Body Donnas taking on the Natural Disasters. You know what I do like about this, though, is that we just had back-to-back tag team title pictures here with the old-school WWF tag team title belts. These were the best ones. These right here are what tag team belts should look like. But the Body Donnas and the Natural Disasters, I'm sorry, that's not going to cut it. 2 out of 3. We went 2 for 3. I would be very happy if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, if they just merged their red and blue belts into those belts. Slap the current logo on them. You want to kind of update it a little bit, but like bring those belts back as the singular unified tag team titles. I would be in favor of that. I don't know why all the classics just look so much better. I don't understand it. Shouldn't be that way, man. It shouldn't be that way. All right, we got Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. A lot of wrestling this weekend. Best of the Super Juniors this year got interesting. Dr. Scorpio, I think Raw broke our new membership streak. that was going dating back to late summer last year. That's how bad Raw was. Are the Ultimate Maniacs and Be the Booker? I don't think so. Lucky Phil. Adrenaline in my guts. Don't need Cody. Got slap nuts. Very good. Very good. Well, you're going to get Cody on Saturday. You get slap nuts on Sunday. Juan Ocampo. Solomonster. The typical WWE water carrying shill on Mondays and Fridays. Now carrying water for AEW and the Elite on Wednesday. Christ, who's next? TNA? Hey, I used to put over Impact quite a bit when I was enjoying it in 2012, 2013. I was carrying water. I guess you could say I was carrying water for Impact for a time. Even when the TNA soldiers went to war with me for reasons that are still unknown to me. Remember when the TNA soldiers declared war on yours truly? You had that one guy with that fucking Russian look. What was it called? Russian looking hat. Looks like he was sitting in a bunker somewhere, trying to hatch plans to like break into some kind of government system or something. He's called the general, I think, right? He was the TNA general. He was the general of this great army. He really was. Yeah, like the Russian army, because they're doing so well these days. Oh, the TNA general. I heard he was killed on the battlefield. I heard that he was lost in combat. So perhaps we should have a 20-gun salute for the TNA general. Did Silver Tower do it again? Oh my God, Silver Tower just gifted another 20 channel memberships. That brings the total now. You know, you could also pay for membership. I just want people to be aware of the fact they could also pay for memberships if they want to support. That's still allowed. But that brings the total tonight to 72. 72 new members tonight alone. I don't even know what to say to that. Naughty Delicious is Samoa Joe against Cody Rhodes. Winner gets to play WWE 2K23 with Solomonster. Hey, they're more than welcome to play with... I should rephrase that. They're more than welcome to play the game with me anytime they want to. I'm probably going to be really bad at it, but... I'd play 2K23 with Samoa Joe and Cody Rhodes. I feel like I'm going to have to build an actual, like, little tower back here. And put, like, have a little, like, voodoo doll or something. I'll put Silver Tower's face on it. We'll put him on top of the tower. He'll be, like, sitting right behind me. We have to come up with something. What has been my favorite match from doing Be the Booker? Kurt Angle against Kurt Angle. This has been this turned into a wild night. I will tell you that. And I'll tell you what, we more than made up for the slow night on Monday. But we got two pay-per-views coming up this weekend, so hopefully you guys will be back here. And we also have SmackDown on Friday, which I know is a taped show, but we'll hang out anyway, and we'll talk about SmackDown. You never know. Maybe they'll insert something interesting into the show. Sometimes on these taped shows, they insert some kind of promo segment or something. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they give us on SmackDown on Friday. I stayed away from the spoilers, so we shall see. Thank you for hanging out with me again. If you missed episode 809 of the podcast on Sunday, it was a good show. Covered a lot of ground. We have a lot of clips up on the channel right now, but that's not everything. So go back and check the podcast. Give the podcast, if you would, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That's always very cool to see. And I am going to be back with you on Friday night for the SmackDown review. So until then, be well. Stay safe. Dennis and Seth and the Coug. And Max, all of you, thank you for hanging out. Max, enjoy your European vacation. Safe travels to you and the missus. And we'll be back here on Friday night to do it all over again. Until then, take care, guys.